Morning, everyone. The days of preparation are over and the nerves have kicked in.
Welcome to SBC.
It's an all-age service this morning. There won't be a Sunday school and everyone's going to stay in throughout. And it may not be quite like a normal service. There'll be the usual songs and prayers and readings, but they might be a bit different, and there'll be something to do in the middle as well. There'll be coffee afterwards, and the good news is there's cake, but it's not to eat with the coffee, so we don't make a mess. Graham's brought cake because it's his birthday, and we're going to check his 70th birthday. Great. And we're going to take it home to eat it, but we're going to sing to Graham first.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Graham. Happy birthday to you.
So we're going to start with a call to worship, which I'm going to put on the screen, or Joe's going to put on the screen, and I'm going to talk about briefly. This call to worship has been put together from our reading, which is from Matthew 17, and the other reading, which we'll hear later, also from the second letter of Peter. So the first two lines actually come from Psalm 99. It's not from Matthew, wrong again. From Psalm 99, which is the set psalm for today. And the last two lines come from Peter's letter. And at the end of each verse, I'm going to read, "With our own eyes we saw his true greatness. And we all say, Holy is the Lord, with enthusiasm and conviction. So let's worship God. O Lord, you are King. You are supreme over all the nations. With our own eyes we saw his true greatness. Holy is the Lord. You are our powerful... I've got to do that, haven't I? Sorry, Joe. Oh, is there? She's done it for me. You are our powerful King. You love fairness and you see that justice is done. With our own eyes, we saw his true greatness. Holy is the Lord. The prophets of old prayed in your name, and you, our Lord, answered their prayers. With our own eyes, we saw his true greatness. Holy is the Lord. Lord, you were a forgiving God to your people, but you punished them when they went wrong. With our own eyes, we saw his true greatness. Holy is the Lord. So let's pray. Our loving God, Jesus called you Father, so we come to meet you as your family. And we remember as we meet here that there are members of your family with us who can't be here today. Some are not well, some are with family elsewhere, but we hold them together with us in your presence. Thank you for another day with all your gifts of rain today and sunshine yesterday, food and water, friends and family. In your presence, we know we don't always do the things we should, and we know we also do things we shouldn't, and we're sorry. And we know that you love us and forgive us. So we've come to sing, to pray, and to learn more about you, and we ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to sing a song of praise to God from the rising of the sun. Please, for all the songs, stand or sit as you feel comfortable or able.
And
rising of the sun. To the going down of the same, the Lord's name. Servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. From this time forth, forevermore. From the rising of the sun.
First reading is going to be read by members of the family who aren't here today. They're in Singapore, and we're going to see them on screen. It's a letter from Peter to the other Christians, looking back at things that happened when Jesus was around with them. This is from looking back from years before. And Joe's got the video.
Peter 1:16-19. We have told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What we told you were not just smart stories that someone invented, but we saw the greatness of Jesus with our own eyes. Jesus heard the voice of God, the greatest glory, that when Jesus received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice said, "This is my son, and I love him, and I'm very pleased with him." We heard that voice. It came from heaven while we were with Jesus on the holy mountain. This makes us more sure about the message that the prophets gave us. And it is good for you to follow closely what they said. The message is like a light shining in the dark place. That light shines until the day begins and the morning star rises in your hearts.
And the second reading is also on video. This is a retelling of the story. We're going to hear the way Matthew wrote it later on. This is a retelling of the story by James to his wife.
Mm-hmm. Evening, Martha.
Oh, so it's you, is it? And about time, too.
Yeah, sorry to be so laid back, but it was Jesus, you know.
Oh, yes, Jesus. I'm getting used to it now. Was it this time healing another leper? Sharing his picnic with thousands again? What's Jesus up to now?
Well, this time it was different, much more serious. Remember that about a week ago he was explaining to all of us that he must go to Jerusalem, where he'd be killed, but it would all be okay in the end. And Peter argued with him and said it would never happen, and Jesus got angry. We really didn't know what he was talking about, but none of us dared ask him again.
Yes, I remember you telling me it must have been awful for you all, him talking about death and getting angry with Peter.
Yes, well, today he took just me and Peter and John with him. We went up the little mountain, you know, the one just outside of town. Well, we thought we were going there with him to pray. You know how he likes mountains for praying. But we did think we would get more of a chance as we went up the mountain to ask him about Jerusalem and him dying there.
Yes, quite right. Someone needs to talk some sense into the man.
But actually, we didn't talk much at all. We just shut up and plodded on up the top of the mountain. But when we got there, it all became really strange and scary. The light seemed to change and become all glowing. Jesus seemed to change and become all glowing too. Then we saw two figures with him. We sort of knew it was Moses and Elijah. And then Peter, you know how Peter is.
I'm getting used to it now.
Peter began burbling on about building shelters for them. And then a voice spoke, and it seemed to come from heaven.
What sort of voice? What did it say?
Well, it said, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him."
Oh, listen to him. As though you hadn't been listening up till then.
Yes, I suppose so. And suddenly the penny dropped. It was like a light bulb moment. As though a light was shining in our heads and we knew.
Yes, yes, go on. What did you know?
Well, when the voice said, "Listen to him," we knew we had to hear that all he'd been saying about Jerusalem and death was true. And it sort of had to be. It was inevitable.
Well, goodness me, what a thing. I always thought he was just an ordinary bloke. But now it seems he's far much more than that. Moses and Elijah, hey? And voices from heaven. Well now, who'd believe it?
James talks about the light. Jesus talked an awful lot about light. And we're going to sing "Light of the World."
Step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to pardon, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether worthy, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all full of sake became poor. So to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely. Altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful to me.
So here I am to worship.
Here I am to bow.
So the title is A Light Bulb Moment, and James talked about his light bulb moment. And we're going to have two activities now. There's a chance for us to think about our light bulb moments and talk together just where we're sitting. But feel free to move your chairs around so you can talk a bit more easy. And feel free, if you're not in talking mode, just to think and reflect. There are three questions, and the reminders will come out on our little clipboards in a minute or two from Sue and her helpers. Can you describe a time when you felt really in the dark? Can you describe a light bulb moment when the light dawned? And how do we as Christians live in times of darkness? What helps us through these times? And that should take us through till about 12 o'clock, I think. But it won't. Meanwhile, some of us are going to try to create a light bulb moment at the front. We've got a hill here. It's not as high as the mountain where Jesus was transfigured. And we've got a house that goes on it. And can you see in there? Ooh, what can you see in there?
Wiring.
And?
Bulbs.
Light bulbs.
Yep.
So we're going to try and light those up. Have I got some volunteers? Because the first thing we need to do is find the bits that are going to help us light them up. And they're distributed in typical fashion around the hall. So, but all back from here, you know. So have I got some volunteers to find envelopes? There are envelopes of various shapes and sizes. So if my volunteers can bring their finds up to the front and the rest of you can work on your clipboard. Hello, Freya. Freya. Envelopes.
Sorry,
envelopes. Tell them what happened.
Okay, so
you can go and stand by the house and.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Dave's bringing you a microphone.
Oh, Dave's got a microphone. Oh, Howard's got a microphone.
Okay. So what happened was we got all these envelopes and we attached all the wires together, but it was a bit dull. So we got a new wire which made it more lighter. And then we got pictures so we can, like, with all the people and their light bulb moments. And, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And that's a picture that someone made earlier, and the aim is to get those like that. So feel free young people, if you want to carry on doing that there. But is any really striking points come out of any of your discussions? There's no need to say anything, but did anyone have a particular light bulb moment that struck someone? Yeah, well, I'm not going to share mine either. But we're going to carry on with light, and we're going to sing My Lighthouse. We will follow you through trouble and storm and things that go wrong. We will follow Jesus. And no, we don't. No, we're not going to have the offering there. Sorry. Later. My Lighthouse.
In my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. You are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions,
going up mountains, Jesus, away from every day, close to God. It's funny how we have different pictures of the Bible stories. Sue imagined them trudging up there in silence. I thought maybe he was talking to them on the way up. reminding them of the stories they knew, how Moses met God on a mountain. Moses came down with a big bundle, didn't he? Two tablets of stone with commandments on. Did Jesus talk again about how he'd come to complete the law? Because they'd been up a mountain with him not long before when he was talking about some of the Jewish laws that Moses brought from God. And he said things like this: the law says don't kill, but I say don't even be angry with people. That's as bad as killing. The law says love your neighbour and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies. And he said, what I'm saying to you, it's not destroying the law, it's fulfilling it, it's completing it. And maybe he talked about the prophets and reminded them about Elijah. Elijah met God on a mountain. He was running away for his life. He was depressed and frightened and hiding in a cave. And God spoke to Elijah. There was a storm going on, but God wasn't in the storm. There was a wind, and God wasn't in the wind. God was a quiet, gentle whisper, speaking to Elijah on the mountain. And the other big prophet in the Jewish scriptures was Isaiah, who wrote about a hope for the future when the Messiah was going to arrive. Then the blind people will see again. Then the deaf will hear. People who can't walk will jump like deer, and those who can't talk now will shout with joy. And these men had been following Jesus for a while now, and Matthew, in the rest of his gospel, tells us that they'd seen him making deaf people hear, and lame people walk, and blind people see, and dumb people talk. They'd heard him teaching, telling stories, and they'd seen him challenging the Pharisees, the temple authorities. They knew he was different, but maybe it was just like a vague idea in their minds. It was a bit dim, like the house was to start off with. But that day, on the top of the hill, they suddenly got it. They saw him there with Moses, who brought the law from God. And Jesus was fulfilling the law. And Elijah, the number one prophet, who was going to come before the Messiah. They saw him in a different light. They saw him in a bright light. They got it. It was a light bulb moment. It was an audio moment as well, wasn't it? Because they heard a voice. The voice said, "This is my son and I love him. I am very pleased with him. Listen to him." Listen to him. Jesus had been talking a lot about God's upside down kingdom, the difference it makes when things get run under God's rules, where the last come first and the first are last, where the people are left out get included, the people who are pushed down by the powerful ones get lifted up, where children who weren't rated at all in those days, they get brought into the middle as a sign of the kingdom of God. The light dawned. The Messiah had come. God's chosen one's here. He's here to rescue people, to bring new life. He's here to make things right, to bring light. And that's great news, isn't it? But you remember what James and Martha said in the sketch earlier about listening to him? It wasn't always good news, was it? When the voice said, "Listen to him," we knew we had to hear that what he'd been saying about Jerusalem and his death was true. Listen to him. It's very hard when he says things like that. They were coming down from the mountain, and Jesus said to them, "Don't talk about this. Don't tell anyone. When I'm raised from death, you can talk about it." So there's bad news, and there's good news. Bad news, Jesus is going to die. Good news, wait till I've been raised. He will be raised from death. There's hope. And Matthew is telling this to the Christian community he was in 50-odd years later. They were in hard times. The Roman army was even more in control than it had been 50 years earlier. They'd wrecked the temple. And the Jewish people worshipped God in the temple, and so did the early Christians. They were there too. And now it'd been destroyed. How were they going to worship God now? Every year at the end of the Harvest Festival, and there's an interesting little connection with the story that Matthew tells. In the Harvest Festival, people built little tents and lived in their gardens for a week. And Peter's saying, should we do that? So you wonder whether this story was being told round about Harvest Festival. And at the end of the Harvest Festival, there was an event called Illuminating the Temple. A bit like the Blackpool Illuminations. They had four massive candlesticks. We've never seen them, but only seen pictures of how people have imagined them, with loads of candles, and they were on the hill in Jerusalem, and it lit up the whole city. There was a saying that no courtyard in the city was dark, because there was so much light going on. And in John's Gospel, John tells us that it was at the end of that festival, when the lights had gone out, that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." So there's a connection there, which the Christians who'd been Jewish worshippers before would make. So it reminded them that actually Jesus was replacing the temple for them. Jesus had brought them close to God. This is the lighting up of the new temple. It's a sign of hope. And they were to listen to him. Hear the stories about God's upside down kingdom and live in it. Hear him talking about going to Jerusalem and dying. And starting this week, we're going to do that as well. We're going to do, during Lent, we're going to start to follow him on his journey to the cross and to share the challenges and the sadness and the pain of that. But we've got that light bulb moment ahead of us, recognizing who he is when we look forward to Easter and the resurrection. So we're going to sing about our light now, because as we follow Jesus, we need to let our light shine. And this is the one where we're going to have the offering, isn't it?
Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it
Let's pray. Our loving God, you give us everything. And bring you these offerings as a sign, a little sign of our love for you. We ask your blessing on it as it's used to help this church shine your light in Sandbach. And we pray for the children that we support, that may your light reach through to them through how we support them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Jesus, been promoted in. Ian's going to lead us in our prayers.
For our prayers, we're going to have some images appear on the screen, and there's some words there. And the first set of words are lead on, but the words that are in bold that start with the word please, that's for you to join in as well. So as we go through this, we'll just spend a couple of seconds looking at the images and thinking about those before we pray. So the first image is of a sad face. So we pray for all children and adults who are sad today. Please shine your light of comfort on them. And the second image is of a child on a hospital bed. We pray for children and adults who are poorly today. Please shine your light of healing on them. This next image is of someone homeless on the streets with a makeshift umbrella to try and keep them dry. We pray for the children and adults who are homeless and for those who live on the streets today. Shine your light of compassion on them. The next image is of a refugee tent. And you can see on land that is dead and there's nothing happening there. And we pray for all children and adults who live in refugee camps today. Shine your light of justice on them. This next image is of a small boat carrying asylum seekers being tossed around on heavy seas. We pray for those children and adults who will cross the channel today in little boats. Please shine your light of protection on them. And the same picture, please join in this prayer and shine your light of compassion on us when we are faced with asylum seekers. The next image is a group of leaders from the United Nations and Alec Baldwin, the actor, in the middle of them. We pray for the leaders of our world, for all who have power. Shine your light of wisdom on them and continue. And may they be strong to do what is right. And our last image is of a group of teenagers, of girls looking upwards to God with praying hands. Living God, please hear our prayers. We ask them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And I think we're going to sing Shine, Jesus, Shine. Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me.
Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Place, Spirit, please. Set our
Sophelia.
Matthew chapter 17 verses 1 to 9. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, up on a high mountain. They were all alone there. While they watched, Jesus was changed. His face became bright like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Then two men were there, talking with him. The men were Moses and Elijah. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you want, I will put three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While Peter was talking, a bright cloud covered them. A voice came from the cloud. The voice said, This is my son, and I love him. I am very pleased with him. Obey him. The followers of Jesus heard the voice. They were so frightened that they fell to the ground. But Jesus went to them and touched them. He said, Stand up. Don't be afraid. When the followers looked up, they saw Jesus was now alone. When Jesus and the followers were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anyone about the things you saw on the mountain. Wait until the Son of Man has been raised from death. Then you may tell."
Of course, as we go forward to Easter, there's nothing to stop us telling this week, is there? We don't have to wait, but we're still going to embark on that journey with Jesus towards Easter. And as we do, we're going to walk in the light, and that's our closing song, Walk in the Light. Blessing. Loving God, as Peter said in our reading, it's good that we've been here. We're going now into next week with our many activities. We ask you to bless us at school, in playgroups, at work, and at home. We ask you to bless us in all our church activities, at BAP, at Tots & Co., at prayers, in study groups, and at Energize, until we come to meet again next week. In Jesus' name, Amen.